Today's passage is taken from the book of Matthew, chapter 6, verses 5 to 15. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father, who sees in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses.
Let me add my welcome to Chaos. My name's Ed. I'm the assistant minister here. And I reckon that of all the biblical topics we could be thinking about today, there are probably a few that have the same potential to be as instantly discouraging before the preacher has even opened his mouth as this one. It's been said that if you really want to humble a Christian, just ask them how their prayer life is going, and 9 out of 10 times that will do the trick. As one author writes, in our Christian lives, nothing is more important, and yet, nothing more difficult to maintain than a meaningful prayer life. So if you're already feeling slightly guilty and discouraged just from the mere fact that we are talking about prayer this morning, let me assure you that you will not be the only one here thinking that. I don't think I've ever met a Christian who hasn't found it a constant battle to be consistent in prayer. And I think there are really two big difficulties that we find with praying. And one is that we just don't make it a priority. So we struggle to have the discipline to set aside the time each day to pray. And we're caught up in the busyness and the concerns of life. And we just don't make time for it. But then even when we do manage to resist the urge to hit the snooze button for the second or third time and haul ourselves out of bed in the morning to spend a bit of time deliberately in prayer. Even when we do make time to pray, don't we often find that we don't really know how to pray? Or we know what to pray for. We might be organized and have our prayer lists or prayer diaries and set subjects for each day. That might help us a bit. But even then, don't we often struggle just to find the words to pray about those things? So we'll tackle those issues today, first by looking at what the Bible says about why we pray, and then secondly, about how we're to pray. If you've joined us recently at Easton Church, we're saying this is going to be slightly different to how we would normally approach the Bible in our sermons. Usually we work our way passage by passage through a book of the Bible, and that's our kind of normal diet on a Sunday. But just occasionally, we think it's helpful to pause and examine a topic like this a little bit more systematically. And in fact, today we're mainly going to be focusing our attention on just four words, those first four words of Jesus' famous model prayer, Our Father in heaven. So why do we pray? Well, first we pray because God is our Father. And it's significant that these verses, this passage, comes right at the center of the famous Sermon on the Mount. So as Jesus is setting out in these chapters what it will look like to be a citizen of his kingdom, of the kingdom of heaven, it is striking that right at the center is a relationship with God as our Father. And not just the Father of Jesus, but if we're united to Jesus, our Father too. And so as one writer puts it, just as obedience is the visible response to God, which marks out real faith, so prayer is the audible form of our faith, of a real and living relationship with God. And two implications of that. One, it means that we are praying to someone who is listening. And that is, we're not just speaking empty words into a vacuum. That's what our materialist society thinks of our prayers, isn't it? And actually, with the other religions of the world, that is the case. Over the Christmas break, I watched a great documentary, you might have seen it, called The Rescue. It's about those heroic cave divers who rescued the lives of the Thai children who were trapped in a cave in 2018. Amazing film, really recommend it. But the really sad thing is watching the footage of desperate people at the entrance to those caves offering up prayers to golden statues, statues which hear nothing and can do nothing. And we pray to someone who is really there, really listening. And we pray to someone not only who's listening, but who cares. As you remember, I remember a colleague of mine saying once that he always left the door to his study slightly open, because he never wanted his two little daughters to feel like they were shut off from him. Always wanted them to feel like they could come to Daddy and that he'd care for them. And that is what it's like with God our Father. He is always eager to hear from us. And always eager to listen to our needs. And eager to respond by doing what is best for us. We pray because God is our Father. And we pray because God is in heaven. That he is Father, that means that he's near to us. We can know him and we can come to him. But actually it's just as comforting that at the same time he is far, far above us in heaven. Because that means he can help us. We are finite and limited in all sorts of ways. He is infinite, infinite in knowledge, infinite in wisdom, infinite in power. And so again, two implications. It means we pray to someone who knows. Just like a toddler who can't fathom why his parents wouldn't give him more ice cream. Well, so often we find it difficult, don't we, to see the kindness of God in not giving us all the things that we ask for. And yet infinitely more even than a parent knows better than their toddler. Well, he understands our situation far better than we do. And he knows us far better than we know ourselves. And he always knows how best to answer our prayers for our good. Also means we pray to someone who is able. Again, our words aren't spoken to a piece of wood or stone or metal. We're not speaking to something that has no power to act, something inanimate. Our words aren't just wasted on empty space. No, God not only hears and knows and cares, nothing can stop him from doing what is best. God says in Isaiah this, "My counsel shall stand, and I will accomplish all my purpose. No power in heaven or on earth will stop God from doing his will." But have you ever wondered, well, what is the point in praying then? And that is a thought that has real potential to downplay the importance of prayer in our mind, isn't it? If God already knows, and Jesus says that explicitly in verse 8, did you see that? That your Father knows what you need before you ask him, he says. If God is already determined to do what is best anyway, why bother praying? Well, given that God exhorts us in the Bible in lots of places to be regular in prayer, there must be a reason. And actually, when you think about it, the Bible is full of examples of God acting directly in response to somebody's prayer, often the prayers of his people. So our prayers, they really do achieve things. They aren't pointless. Rather, they are God's own appointed means of bringing about his purposes. That is to say, God has actually ordained things. He's ordered things such that we participate in bringing about his planned purposes through prayer. And so, he promises in the Bible to act in response to prayer that is in line with his will. And reformer John Calvin was someone who spent a bit of time thinking about this. He suggested three reasons why God has chosen to work through the prayers of his people. And he argues that it's for our good. For our good, because prayer fixes our eyes on God. In three ways, he suggested. First, he said it brings comfort to us in remembering that God is our anchor in the troubles of life. He says it helps us refocus our desires on right things. Because as we think of the God to whom we're praying, we start to think beyond ourselves to his priorities. And it helps us to remember that we are totally dependent on him. That everything comes from his hands. And so it leads us to delight in him more. It is a wonderful gift to us that our Father in heaven has chosen to act in response to our prayers. That's the way he's set things up. And so if we really believe that, well, just think what our prayer life is going to look like. It'd be great for each of us to think about that personally. But as a church, corporately, well, surely if we believe these things, well, then our church prayer meeting, that would look pretty similar in size to our Sunday gatherings. And that is rarely the case in churches. Very often you'll find the prayer meeting is one of the smallest gatherings. And so let me say, it has been a real encouragement to me, actually, in the time since I've been here, to very often see this room pretty filled prayer meetings. That is a wonderful thing, and we should give thanks for that. But it wouldn't surprise me if some of us are tempted to think that of all the meetings in the month, all of the midweek meetings that we put on each month, prayer night, well, that's the one we don't mind skipping too much if something else comes up, or if the week's a little bit busy. Can I encourage us not to think that way about the meetings that we've got coming up on Tuesday and Wednesday this week? We've got prayer nights coming up this week on a Tuesday and Wednesday. The reason, actually, that we don't put separate prayer meetings on, we don't separate them out from our regular midweek meetings and take a break from our normal Bible studies, the reason we do that is because we think it is so important. We want as much of the church family to be there as can possibly make it. I once heard someone say, prayer is as close to omnipotence as the church gets. So why do we struggle to pray then? Because we all do that at times. Well, there could be any number of reasons, and I'd recommend just trying to think about this and work this out for yourself. What might be the thing that is holding you back? Here are a few potential reasons. Could it be a simple matter of lack of faith? And that might be because in our pride, we don't really see that we need it. We feel pretty self-sufficient, able to deal with our own problems. And yet, ironically, as we've thought about, prayer is actually one of the things that helps us remember we're really not. And maybe it's that you've persuaded yourself that prayer just doesn't make any difference. Perhaps you're discouraged because God doesn't seem to be answering the way that you'd hoped. Well, remember, Father knows best. And perhaps, as we thought about earlier, you don't see the point of praying to a sovereign God who already knows. But as we've seen, prayer does change things. Again, I think John Calvin is very helpful here. He says that for a Christian not to pray is like someone who is shown where great treasures are hidden and then just decides to leave them buried and not dig them up. And prayer, says Calvin, penetrates to the riches which are treasured up for us with our Heavenly Father. Or maybe it's because actually you're ashamed to come before God. You're so conscious of how you've let him down. Well, remember, that is one of Satan's lies. And do you notice how actually the Lord's Prayer has confession built right into it? At verse 12, forgive us our debts. And do you know that Jesus actually expects that every time you come to God in prayer, you'll be coming from a fresh position of spiritual mess and sin. Every time. But if God is our Father, well, his door is always open and always inviting us to come back. However long it's been since you last prayed, whatever you've done in between, actually your Father is always delighted to hear from you again. Apathy, that could be another reason. So we just don't care about God's purposes enough to pray for them. In which case, maybe we just need to go back to the basic truths of the gospel and remind ourselves of them again. But it could also, thirdly, be because we're just not sure how. We struggle to find words to know what to pray. And again, the advice of another one of the great reformers is helpful here. So Martin Luther, he had a barber called Peter, and Peter the barber once asked Luther to help him to pray. And so Luther wrote him a very helpful little guide. He starts off by saying that when he struggles to pray, he does two things. First, he goes to church. Because actually that is one of the ways that God helps us learn how to pray, by learning from other believers. Note the words, our Father, in Jesus' prayer, not my Father. Jesus expects us to be praying together. I don't know about you, I know how much I have learned over the years from the prayers of more mature believers than me. And so let me say, if that is something that at the moment is stopping you coming from prayer meetings because you just think you feel out of your depth there, can I say, please still come. No one will force you or expect you to pray. Come and listen and learn from the prayers of others. Secondly, though, Luther says, he gets out his Psalter. Because another way God helps us to pray is by giving us ready-baked prayers in the Bible, prayers that we can just pray back to God, lots of them in the Psalms. But supremely, this model prayer from Jesus. And so what Luther does in the rest of his little guide is simply to meditate on the Lord's Prayer, line by line, and expand each one into a longer prayer. And so for our last few minutes, and let's look a bit more at Jesus' pattern for prayer. In fact, Jesus' first instructions in verses 5 to 8 are really all about how not to pray. So we're not to pray hypocritically, verses 5 and 6, not making a big show of it in front of others, but rather God is the one whom we're to pray before, and not other people. So there is a challenge for us. If you notice this week, for example, that actually your prayers tend to be longer and more theological and more urgent and more emotive in public at a prayer meeting than they actually are in private. And we're also not to pray mechanically, verses 7 and 8, heaping up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, Jesus says, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. And see, that is to treat God a bit like a kind of spiritual vending machine. You know, type in the correct combination of words and you get what you want. That is how pagan praying works. But God is no genie in a lamp to be manipulated by us. There's no formula that says X amount of praying is going to lead to Y amount of blessing in proportion. Which means, you know, it is fine, absolutely fine, to pray short one or two sentence prayers. Again, please feel very free to do that this week. And please don't feel pressured to pray for a certain length as if it's no good otherwise. So how do we pray? Well, notice Jesus' prayer actually starts with gospel concerns, with a focus not on us, but on God. Hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And those three requests are all related logically in that order. And God's name is honoured as his kingdom comes. That is, as more people are drawn into his kingdom through Christ. And so commit themselves to doing his will on earth as it's done in heaven. Highest in our priorities for prayer is to be the advance of God's kingdom for the honour of his name. After all, that is really the big thing that is happening in our world today. It's not the tensions between Russia and the Ukraine. It's not global warming and the quest for net zero. It is not even the matter of a global pandemic. The most important thing that will be happening in 2022 is that God will be redeeming people from every tribe and tongue and nation and bringing them into his kingdom to worship him and to do his will. And so prayers for the advance of God's kingdom, for God's kingdom to come, prayers for more people to hear the gospel and turn back to God through Jesus. Prayers for Jesus to come again soon and bring in that kingdom in fullness. Actually, those are the prayers that are right at the top of Jesus' prayer list, right at the top of his prayer diary. Our praying can become very trivial, can't it? And very centered on us. Extreme example of that. But I remember a youth group once where I was growing up. Someone's one prayer request for the evening was for their friend's sick hamster to get better. It was a particularly low point in my time in youth group. Jesus wants our prayers to be radically shaped around his agenda, shaped by the gospel. And yet, that doesn't mean that God doesn't want to hear about our daily needs, because that's where Jesus goes in the rest of this prayer. Prayers for our physical needs. Give us today our daily bread. And that is an urgent prayer in many parts of the world where believers are poor. But actually, do you know, many of Jesus' close followers listening to this were rich. Actually, like us, a lot of them wouldn't have felt too worried about their daily breads. And yet Jesus wants you to recognize that actually even the most basic things you have in life, well, they are a good gift from a good God, from his sovereign hand. And so health and safety and food and friendships and freedom and peace, all those things we're not somehow just entitled to. Each one of them, a gift from a good Father. And then prayers for our spiritual needs. for forgiveness and for strength to resist Satan. And so here's an idea for you. Why not one morning this week take a leaf out of Martin Luther's book and pray through the Lord's Prayer, just meditating and expanding on each line as you go. Even if you think you're kind of happy with how you usually pray already, why not go back to the Master's Prayer and learn from it again how to speak to God? He loves to hear from us, and he loves to give us treasure in response to our prayers. He is our Father in heaven. And so let's pray to him now. Pray to our Father.
Our Father in heaven, we thank you so much for that privilege of being able to approach you as our good and loving Father. What a blessing that is. Forgive us for when we take that for granted, or for when we distort the act of prayer and make it more about showing off or keeping up appearances. Please help us to be those who know and love you enough to want to pray to you, even when no one is looking, to seek your favour and to see your will done on earth as in heaven. Help us to rely on you for our daily bread, knowing that every good thing comes from you, and that we wouldn't think we can rely on ourselves. And we ask that you would lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Keep us from falling into sin or running into danger. Order us in all our doings, and guide us to do always what is righteous in your sight. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And Father God, we commit to you our mission partners, Maxime and Demelza, and their family. Thank you for the rest they had over Christmas, and for the opportunity to see Demelza's dad in England, and to take him to a carol service, and to pray with him. Please use his fragile health situation to cause him to cry out to you, and know you as his Father in heaven. And we pray for your kingdom to come in Bordeaux, that there would be many turning and trusting in you. Thank you for Maxime and Demelza's growing relationship with various neighbours. Please continue to strengthen those friendships and give them an open door for the gospel. And we thank you for the idea they've had of running some kind of holiday club around Easter. Please would you give them wisdom and energy for this and raise up a team to help them in it. We pray that you would strengthen all of the Christian churches there in Bordeaux, that they would be prayerfully seeking your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And Heavenly Father, we pray for the unrest in Kazakhstan at the moment. Lord, we pray that your will would be done on earth as in heaven. Father, it's hard to know exactly what's going on there at the moment and how we should pray. But we lift up that nation before you and ask that you would pour out your mercy and grace. Please help those in authority to lead with justice and integrity, and grant them the humility to know that any authority they have is only because you permit it. Please would you restore peace, that your people there would be able to lead peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. We ask all these things through the name of our Saviour, Jesus Christ, and for the glory of your name. Amen.